This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. Please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast to support this show. And many thanks to some of our more recent subscribers. Yeah. They include Leah, John G., Her Fierceness.
My father-in-law, yes, John G.
That's right. Chelsea B., Cody J., Byron H., Alex S., Mark W., Susan R., Michael L., Andrea S., Joel K., Amanda W., Laurel, Donnie Darko, and Tom.
Donnie Darko, why are you wearing that stupid human suit?
That's right.
Hey, I can quote. Do you know that quote from that movie?
I'm sure it's a movie. Thank you so much for supporting us. The rest of you, join in.
Truly, you get guys, thank you. It means a lot.
Free episodes and your bonus episodes and all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
And hello.
Oh, yeah, hi.
Everyone would like to know how you are doing.
Oh, thank you, guys. Nothing has changed since last week, so I'm still doing okay. At least I went to 2 baby showers over the weekend, so that really got my head on straight, because that's a place I go to relax and make small talk with my husband's relatives.
Always
anyway,
a good thing.
Listen, I'm it was sunny yesterday while I was at work. The weather is better. My mental health is slightly better, but financially, no different. But I cannot tell you how much I appreciate people. I mean, not just people who are Patreon donors and sent me money, which is insane, but just people reaching out and care about me. And as somebody with lifelong depression, that's very strange and weird to experience, but it feels wonderful. And I love you guys. Thank you.
All right,
are we done?
We are done. No, let's start with a story that the Christian right is trying to drag out because they love stories where they get to pretend to be persecuted.
Sure, they do love that.
Uh-huh. So here's the one thing we know about the 2024 elections. It's that if Donald Trump wins again, he will absolutely surround himself with Christian nationalists who believe the Bible, not the Constitution, ought to dictate how we run the country, and it's only their interpretation of the Bible that counts, right? Yeah. That is what Project 2025 is all about, which we have talked about before. Mm-hmm. That is how right-wing justice is.
Formerly known as Project Blitz.
That's right.
Because they're Nazis.
That's how right-wing justices have defended their insane decisions, like the Alabama Supreme Court's ruling to effectively block IVF treatments. That's how Mike Johnson is running the Republican Party. And it's also not surprising then that Politico reported a couple of weeks ago that a right-wing think tank was, quote, developing plans to infuse Christian nationalist ideas in Trump's administration should the former president return to power. So that piece, it was written by Alexander Ward and Heidi Prisbola. It explained that a group called the Center for Renewing America,
Zoinks,
yes, and its president, Russell Vought, they had drafted a document, it's not Project 2025, it's a separate document, with priorities for a second Trump term. And literally one of the bullet points on the list on this document they
murder
obtained.
Murder gay people.
It is Christian nationalism.
No. And it doesn't say those words.
It said Christian nationalism on the bullet point, but it did not give you further detail.
No.
So like the specifics were lacking, but the implications were obvious.
And
So the documents obtained by Politico, this is from the article, do not outline specific Christian nationalist policies, but Vought has promoted a restrictionist immigration agenda, saying a person's background doesn't define who can enter the U.S., but rather, citing biblical teachings, whether that person accepted Israel's God, laws, and understanding of history. So immigration to America, according to this guy, in things he has written, it's not about where you're coming from or anything like that. It's are you a good Christian the way I like it?
Yikes.
So that's frightening.
So this is getting a little less abstract and a lot more concrete.
Very much so. So after that article was published, Heidi Prisbola went on MSNBC to discuss the piece. And again, she's talking off the cuff about, you know, what does Christian nationalism mean? What would it mean under a second Trump term? And I'm going to quote you what she said, because this is the story. This is where she gets into a little bit of trouble. She said, quote, and the one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them is Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God. The problem with that is that they are determining men are determining what God is telling them, etc. And here's the thing. The general gist of what you just said there, totally accurate.
Right.
Anyone who's been following Christian nationalism over the past several years could tell you that is accurate.
Right.
If she made any mistake there, it's that she said Christian nationalists believe our rights come from God, because that's something a lot of Christians believe.
Sure.
And they think, like, yeah, God wants us to have these rights. God wants us to have this country.
Right.
And the founding fathers acted on what God wanted. The thing is, Christian nationalists go further than that.
Right.
So I want to be clear. What she said wasn't wrong in spirit, but the specifics of what she said, well, no, she wasn't just describing Christian nationalism there.
Sure.
And she implied.
And why do you think that's a significant
Because
difference.
If I'm a Christian nationalist and I want to say the liberal media is out to get me, then saying, look, these people are saying all Christians are Christian nationalists. We're all extremists.
So as soon as you give them an opening to say, well, I'm not that, that's what that is, and I'm not Christian nationalist.
She was accusing all Christians who think God gave us anything. She's accusing all of them as being extremists.
Okay, that's fair.
And to be clear, she also tried to distinguish run-of-the-mill Christians. Like, they're not the problem here. She said, like, Christian nationalists, not Christians, but Christian nationalists, right?
Right.
You get that idea. So shortly after that segment aired, conservative Christian groups, specifically the Family Research Council, a hate group led by a guy named Tony Perkins, another group called Catholic Vote, led by a guy named Brian Birch, they sent a letter to Politico demanding
an apology.
A lot of female
leaders in these places, huh?
They wouldn't be allowed. They sent a letter to Politico demanding an apology for the supposed, quote, smearing of the Christian faith.
They want an apology. I feel like usually they don't go after an apology. They just use that to grandstand. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's interesting that they're going for an apology. Which apology for what?
Oh, man. Okay. They're mad at Politico.
A mild misclassification of Christianity?
Yeah.
Okay.
They are mad at Prisbola for not acknowledging that our republic was founded on the belief that our rights come from God, not earthly kings or government. Like the Declaration of Independence says our rights come from God, they said. Hold that thought. Furthermore, they said, it is deeply disturbing, therefore, that she appeared unaware of the opening of the Declaration of Independence or to its references of the laws of nature and of nature's God. Equally concerning is Ms. Prisbola's smearing of the Christian faith reflected in her comments. Her statements constituted an attempt to spread misinformation about Christians by creating the perception that they hold unique beliefs that pose a distinct, and in her words, extremist, threat to our country. She was manifestly trying to demonize the Christian community and sow fear through propaganda.
I blacked out after, like,
that's
the first two words. A couple
things
about
that. The Declaration of Independence is not the Constitution.
Correct.
It's references to God, which do exist in the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. They were standard practice at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the founders, obviously, not Christians at all.
Mm-hmm.
That included Thomas Jefferson, the guy who wrote the Declaration of Independence and then made his own Bible without the supernatural bullshit.
Yeah, sidebar, if you're not listening to Telling Jefferson Lies,
Telling Jefferson Lies.
It's the last episode was outstanding. Outstanding. Very good. Very good. And really pours a little water on the fire of the founding fathers were Christian nationalists.
And if Joe Biden ever made a Bible that was miracle-free and
truly,
they would call him a heretic. But here they're like, he's the best.
Listening to David Barton, the faux historian, I'll figure something out better. Just do like intellectual cartwheels around trying to prove that Jefferson was in fact like loved black people. He just owned them because he had to. Like, it's truly.
Yes. Slavery is always justified. It was just the time.
Oh my God. It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing for them all. Understand history and learn from it. It's okay if Thomas Jefferson wasn't a perfect Christian boy. You can still be a perfect Christian boy if you want to. Just don't like retrofit your little beliefs onto something that happened 250 years
that's
ago.
That's what they think history is. So yeah, also, at no point did Prisbola smear the Christian faith. She wasn't spreading misinformation about Christians. She accurately described what one powerful faction of Christians plans to do if they acquire power, because they've been doing it, and they continue to do it, and promise to do more of it, and we have it in writing. Mm. It is also weird for Tony Perkins to suggest, as he did in this thing, he wrote in the letter, Prisbola's attacks on God as the source of our dignity and rights are also a direct attack on the unifying call of the civil rights movement, including Martin Luther King Jr., who reminded us of our common creed, which grounded human dignity and rights explicitly in a creator God.
Y'all better keep MLK's name out of your mouth. That is not okay. If you think you have anything in common with civil rights leaders who are actually putting something on the line for their principles as opposed to what you're writing mean tweets or X's. Like, and this is not the same.
Tony Perkins, of all people, to suggest he and MLK are on the same side, which is very weird because Perkins has a history of speaking to white supremacists.
He's such a fucking ding-dong.
Paying KKK leader David Duke for his supporter list when he was managing a campaign for somebody else.
Duke's still alive?
He's still alive.
Wow.
And there's a picture of Tony Perkins standing in front of a Confederate flag when he was giving a speech.
Evil just pickles you, doesn't it? It just makes you last forever.
And so, like, no one's done more to smear Christians than people like Tony Perkins and Mike Johnson, who just link up their faith with bigotry.
Do you think it's... Are they trying to have it both ways with, say, like, standing in front of a Confederate flag and talking to people versus, no, we're not...
retrofitting history. It's like, well, it's Confederate flag, but it's our heritage.
It's our heritage.
It's not about slavery. It's not just this letter, though. The Center for Renewing America's executive director, Wade Miller, he claimed Heidi Prisbola had disdain for Christians in America. She says that if you believe your rights come from God, you aren't a Christian. You're a Christian nationalist, which is not at all what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Heidi Prisbola responded to the backlash and said, I said men are making their own policy interpretation of natural law. MLK did so with social justice. You are welcome to as well, but you don't speak for all Christians and certainly not for God.
Hmm.
And then this kept going because now they baited her.
Sure. So do you think if she had phrased that one thing differently, would they just have found something else to pick on in
her
thing?
Either they would have found something else to pick on or they would have just ignored it like they always do.
I see.
But as soon as she gave them an opening,
sure,
because they're dying to complain.
Love
and again,
complaining,
what she said
people.
Off the cuff on MSNBC is not the definition of Christian nationalism that, say, an academic would have given.
Right.
But that's also not her job. She was asked, like, all right, let me try to distinguish these two groups for
you.
Perkins also later said she is a biased reporter because I guess she has a nasty habit of quoting people like him accurately.
Oh, I hate that.
Then he said she has a disqualifying lack of knowledge to cover this issue.
Really?
Which is
What's her background?
Her background is she's a good reporter and she quotes people.
What the fuck is wrong?
Meanwhile, David Barton, they think, has great knowledge.
Wait, didn't you say there's two authors of this paper?
There was,
paper?
But she's the one that was on MSNBC, and she's a woman.
Going to go after that woman thing, because the male author doesn't sound like he's tangled with these.
Well, he wasn't on TV promoting it.
Fair enough.
And the thing is, her reporting was accurate. None of them are going after the accuracy of what they wrote.
Well, no, they can't. they have to. Like, when you see people go through these little nitpicky things, you know that they are showing you their hand because they are saying everything she said is right, but
and
I have
we
to
don't like it.
We don't like it. We have to disqualify her on some technical grounds,
right.
You know?
And what surprised me is that last week Prisbola actually wrote a response on Politico. And I don't know if she was forced to do this because they demanded this apology or Politico caved or what, but she did issue a secondary article saying this is why this subject deserves more intense coverage.
Mm.
And there's an apology sort of squeezed in here, but here's what she wrote. Every person's spiritual motivations are entitled to respect. Once these motivations take them onto the stage of politics and lawmaking that will affect the lives of fellow citizens, however, they will be treated the same as any other political actor. dot, dot, dot. That's they good. Cannot expect exemption from criticism from people who oppose their agendas, nor any extra deference for their political words or actions, mm-hmm. simply because they are motivated by religious belief.
Mm-hmm.
Then she talked about what she said on MSNBC. To state the obvious, the above is not a good definition of Christian nationalism. Many people have views about our rights as Americans that would coincide with those of many of our nation's founders. Okay. Of course, the question of which policies and rights and values can be ascribed to natural law is in the eyes of the beholder. Then she said, due to some clumsy words, I was interpreted by some people as making arguments that are quite different from what I believe.
Hmm.
Reporters have a responsibility to use words and convey meaning with precision, hmm. and I'm sorry I fell short of this in my appearance. And that was the end of it. Then she moved on to other stuff.
That's a really good... I mean, sure. Obviously she's a good journalist. That's a very concise way of being like, here's why I said what I said.
Yes.
Here is where I misstepped. However, that does not overshadow the larger cause, which I think is yep. important that like, if she had gone in and been like, oh, you guys need to like take a chill pill. Like she obviously took the higher road and was like, listen, I understand a word I said was mildly technically incorrect. However,
The larger picture,
and don't let this overshadow the point, which right. Do you think she should have written?
I don't think she should have written that, mm-hmm. but I get why she did it, and I don't know if she was forced to, and I think it was fine. Like, yeah. It was fine. To the extent that she wasn't clear, that was all she needed to say.
Yeah.
But the problem isn't her. It's the bad actors who tried to take her out of context and impugn her motives.
Well, and imagine if somebody from the right had... was in this situation that they were getting criticism. Do you think that they would have the good grace to say like, hey, I misphrased something and I should
have
done
better?
I'll
give you an example of that. Mark Robinson is now the Republican nominee for governor of North Carolina.
Mm, good luck.
He is insane. He's a Hitler quoting. He made fun of like mass shooting victims
sure.
at a school.
They had it coming.
He called LGBTQ people filth.
Mm-hmm.
Just
oh,
like
that
I
guy?
Nope. Different guy. Different guy.
Oh,
it's just
is this
a thing
a new
Republicans,
nomenclature?
Yeah, it's
filth?
Just a thing they do now.
Mm.
But he was also accused this week of saying, I want to go back to a time when women couldn't vote.
Sure.
That was a thing he actually said. If you take him out of context, that is what he said. In context, what he was saying is, I would like to go back to that time because you know who pushed to get women the right to vote? Republicans. You know who fought for civil rights? Like, Republicans. So he's like, I would like to go back to that time because I want to see these Republicans in action. And it's like, your history is wrong.
Well,
the way you explain it is wrong. But to say that he wants to rewind time to when women could not vote would be inaccurate.
Yes.
And the thing is, he could absolutely apologize for the way he said that.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. It would be unfair to take it out of context and say it's wrong. But to the critics who are like, you're taking him out of context, it's like, okay, fine. I grant you, he did not say he wants to rewind the time and
stop women
from voting.
It doesn't make what he said great.
Doesn't make what he said great. But also, let's not forget all the things he actually did say and we are not taking him out of context for. That's how I feel about this. If you want to attack Heidi Prisbola for this bad definition of Christian nationalism.
Which she said off the cuff in
which she
an
said
interview.
Off the cuff, okay, fine,
yeah.
But the larger picture still stands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she's getting to. And what was the Christian nationalist reaction to
mm-hmm.
that apology? They're like, oh no, this story might be going away. Nope, let's double down and go call her insane. So, Tony Perkins, so mad. He's, because there's nothing people like him enjoy more than dragging out a non-story.
Yeah, of course, of course.
So he... falsely insisted she's conflating Bible-believing Christians with Christian nationalists. She was not. He claimed her words were calculated, which I don't know what that means in this context.
Calculated?
He demanded...
Yes, sir, I think about my words. Is that a criticism you're laying at my feet?
He demanded Politico, quote, come clean on their religious hostility.
What does that mean?
I mean, it's not hostility when a news outlet describes your group fairly.
Also, can you imagine
He's
in
like
today...
He's like mad at his reflection in the mirror.
In today's climate of like underpaid reporters and things like that, imagining Politico has this like secret other like thing of we're gonna take down Republicans by doing mild hit pieces that accurately reflect what they say.
Yeah, there are much better ways if you wanted to make things up. Andrew Seidel, our friend, the constitutional lawyer.
The people who work
lawyer.
At Politico have the time or emotional well-being to do something like this.
Right. Andrew Seidel, the constitutional lawyer who's written extensively about mm-hmm. Christian nationalism, he talked about this whole controversy online, saying it's an attempt to muzzle discussion, criticism, and reporting on the authoritarian Christian nationalism that is working against American democracy and a free press.
And that's 100% accurate, because what is happening here that we're seeing over and over again is if anybody criticizes their policy, they can do a little judo flip and make that, oh, they're criticizing my religion, which we as a country have decided is untouchable unless you're Muslim or
a pagan. If they scare enough reporters...
Right.
Into submission.
Yes, yes.
What does that mean? That means we're going to get less reporting mm-hmm. on this topic. And what we need right now is more reporting on the stakes of the election.
Yep.
If Trump is in office again, the white evangelicals who, what do they care about? They want to dictate when and if you learn about sex. They mm-hmm. want to dictate who you're allowed to have sex with, what your options are if sex doesn't produce a child, everything revolving around sex.
Truly.
They will be in control of the federal government. They will have enough power. If Trump wins, that probably means they win the Senate and they kept the House.
Mm.
If that happens, they will have enough power to turn their theological fantasies into law. Living in a blue state won't help you at that point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Like, none of this is a secret. They openly broadcast it. And so when reporters say, this is the goal of Christian nationalism, that is good, that they're doing us all a favor. They're letting people know what you stand to lose
right.
if Christian extremists gain more power than they already have. And listen, there are plenty of Christians who don't want that to happen. They're outspoken about it. Good mm-hmm. for them. They don't like Christian nationalists because yeah. they've taken the faith, the gospel, and turned it political for reasons they don't like.
And also, like, let's not forget, the current president and vice president are both Christians.
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, it's not their brand of Christians,
right.
which is why they're mad. But if there's one thing we know from decades of the religious right, it's that they always rely on fake persecution mm-hmm. to rally their troops. Oh, if gay people get married, it's somehow a knock on Bible-believing Christians, so we mm-hmm. need you to get out and vote for Republicans. This is what they do all the time. And at a time when LGBTQ people, women, refugees are literally fighting for their lives, yeah, you need to stand up against Christian nationalism, call it out for what it is, mm-hmm. talk about it. Heidi Prisbola and her co-author, they called them out on it with evidence, so they went after her because she spoke about it.
Yeah.
And they'll go after anyone else who describes Christian nationalism to a wider audience because they know damn well that most Americans want nothing to do with their faith-based agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And the more exposure it gets, the harder it becomes to implement. We saw this on 60 Minutes over the weekend. Scott Pelley interviewed two of the three founders of Moms for Liberty and asked them like softball questions like, so how do you think kids are being indoctrinated in school? Like, what are they being indoctrinated with?
Right.
And they couldn't give him a straight answer. They just looked at their notes. They're like, let me tell you why liberals are evil. And it's like,
did they really?
Yeah, they couldn't give a straight answer. It's like, what are you afraid of so much? And kids are going to learn?
How did they spin it?
They didn't. They just went around the question and went back to talking
but
points.
But I mean,
and
like 60 Minutes.
60 Minutes said, they didn't answer the question. They just went back to their talking points.
And
then the right wing spin is, why won't you let them answer the question? Because they filibuster and they won't answer it because they
yeah.
don't have a good answer. That's the thing. There's no way to ask these people what it is they believe in
mm-hmm.
and have them give an honest answer
mm-hmm.
that makes any sense. Chaya Reichick, the libs for libs from TikTok.
Oh, libs of TikTok.
Whatever
of
it
TikTok.
Is. The Washington Post interviewed her. They videotaped the entire interview
uh-huh.
and they asked her, like, why are you going after trans people so much? Like, what is it that you think will happen?
Yeah.
And again, couldn't give a straight answer because these people are reactionary. They don't have ideas. They
mm-hmm.
don't have actual solid fears.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, I just know I'm supposed to hate them, so I'm just going to make their lives miserable. That's what I do.
Well, it's easier to have a bad guy in your life. Trust me, I know. It's really hard when your life is just kind of going not the way you thought it was going to go and nobody's to blame except for capitalism. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it would be much easier if I could point to somebody and say, this person is the reason, you know, my husband lost this job or I lost this opportunity. Like, there is somebody operating the strings behind the curtains and not just, sometimes life is shitty and tough, and you just kind of had to keep your head down and keep going.
Yeah.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Between coaching, dealing with kids, and immersing myself in the news, one thing is clear. I feel like I never have any time for myself. What would you do with an extra hour in your day? Can you even imagine that? Well, if you know what's important to you, you can prioritize. And therapy can help you learn how to do that. Talking about what matters to you with a professional is such a useful way to understand yourself better so you can make the most of your time. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can help you make the most of your time no matter where you're starting from. Whether you've been through something rough or just want an outsider's perspective on whatever you're going through, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and flexible enough for anyone's schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/atheist today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/atheist. Shall we go to some good news for
what
a second?
Ding dongs.
It's not good news, of course, but it's interesting.
Okay.
Let's talk about Liberty University.
Oh, God.
And I was thinking about this for a second. Some backstory really quick. Right after the 2016 election, do you remember that Jerry Falwell Jr., who was then the president of Liberty, he met with Donald Trump in his Trump Tower in New York City? Why were they meeting?
I mean, I have to assume it was some kind of plan to make America Christian again or whatever.
They were meeting to discuss the possibility of Jerry Falwell Jr. becoming the Secretary of Education. That is a real thing that happened.
No, Hammond, you're lying
that
to
is a
me.
Thing that
so
happened.
Betsy DeVos was
the choice number two.
And she was like the lesser of two evils? Well, is that what you're telling me?
And I don't know if there was a formal offer given to Jerry Falwell Jr., but basically, if he became Secretary of Education at the time,
God.
It would have been a step down financially. He wasn't going to make as much money as he would as the president of Liberty.
Yeah.
And also, like, he kind of likes staying in the shadows for reasons we were to find out years later. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
boy.
But Falwell, the reason I say that...
Is he senior or junior? I can't remember who we're talking
about. He was junior.
He's junior. Okay.
Well, this week, the Department of Education, now under Joe Biden, they fined Liberty University a record $14 million for violating what's called the Clery Act. And in essence...
Clery?
Yeah, C-L-E-R-Y. What the government said is Liberty... For reasons I'll talk about in a second, they created a culture where students were afraid to report sexual violence, and they did not do enough to let students know about threats on campus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We talked about this, haven't we?
We may have talked about it several months ago when this first came out, but the final ruling was just issued this week. And the thing is, maybe you're wondering, why is the government allowed to do anything to a Christian university? And the reason is the U.S. government offers, Liberty gets hundreds of millions of dollars every year in student loan payments. 67% of their student body takes on some form of student loans from the government. And if you are getting government money, and in fact, in 2022-2023, in that school year, how much did Liberty get from the government in terms of student loans?
$200 million.
$880 million.
Holy shit. So nearly a billion dollars went to Liberty University so they could teach people that women don't have legs and they need skirts.
And the thing is, the government says if you want to go to an accredited college, basically, you can apply for student loans. We don't care if it's a Christian school or whatever. And Liberty's like, yeah, we'll take government money. But there are some strings attached. It has nothing to do with the religion. It has nothing to do with the curriculum. Mm-hmm. But they do say, okay, if you're taking federal money, you have to, like,
protect your students.
Keep them safe on campus, and there are some bare minimum things you got to do. That's what the Clery Act requires all schools that receive federal loans to do.
Yeah.
So most schools have someone who is like the Clery Act compliance officer, whose job it is to make sure they're doing all this stuff. And so Liberty, by the way, there was a $14 million fine. Liberty has already agreed to it. Like, this is what was announced this week.
$14 million fine out of the, what, $835 million?
$880, and we'll talk about that in a second. But Liberty has already said, yeah, we accept the $14 million fine. Mm. We're also pledging to spend an additional $2 million over the next 2 years to make sure we are in compliance.
That's a whole $1 million per year.
I know. So, fine. Department of the Biden administration.
A third of a percentage of their money from the government.
The students, this is from the U.S. government. Students, faculty, and staff deserve to know they can be safe and secure in their school communities. We respond aggressively to complaints about campus safety and security. Fine. Good. But the reason I wanted to talk about this is because we didn't go into all the specifics when we talked about this last time.
Right.
And this final report basically said, in October of last year, the U.S. government said, we have a lot of concerns.
Okay.
And this is what we're putting out there. And Liberty was like, how dare you persecute us by publicly telling people what we're not doing.
We hate that.
But when they issued that, they faced a $37.5 million fine.
Okay.
But Liberty says, well, the government says, Liberty, you have a chance to respond to all this. These are our findings. Mm-hmm. Now it's your turn. And Liberty had like 6 months to respond to the government, and mm-hmm. the government could listen to the response and take it into account. And what happened this week is the government said, all right, we heard what you said in response to our findings,
and
we've taken all that into consideration. Here's what our final ruling is. Oh, and by the way, when they announced it, they said, we've already shared this with Liberty. Mm. They agree to it, so we're all on the same page now. So that's why this is a big deal.
Okay.
According to the Washington Post, a consultant who saw that initial report in October said it was the, quote, single most blistering Clery report I have ever read, period. Ever, period.
Wow.
And at the time, in October, Liberty's new president, his name is Don D. Costin, he claimed there were, quote, significant errors, misstatements, and unsupported conclusions in the department's preliminary findings.
Sure. I look forward to seeing your response with your backup documentation, which you have.
And so I'm not going to go over what they said in October. I'm going to get to what they're saying now in a second.
They being Liberty or they being the government?
They being the government.
Ooh, I like
and
when
Liberty's
they talk.
Response. But basically, some of the problems that were highlighted back in October was that victims of sexual violence at Liberty felt very scared to tell school officials what happened to them because they felt they would be blamed for what their assailants did. For example, women who were alone with men. Maybe they went to a party. Maybe there was alcohol involved. And at Liberty, you're not supposed to be with opposite sex, with the opposite sex outside of certain hours, certainly not alone, and you shouldn't have alcohol anywhere. And if a woman gets assaulted or something, the question's going to be, well, what was she wearing? Why were you at a party?
Why were you drinking?
So if that happened, that women said, I'm afraid they're going to say I violated the school's rules, known as, quote, the Liberty Way.
Gross.
And it would lead to their own expulsion. Victims of sexual violence feared getting punished for having sex or drinking or putting themselves in a position where sex was consensually or non-consensually a possibility. Liberty seemed to punish victims of sexual assault far more harshly than they ever punished the perpetrators. In 2021, 12 women sued Liberty University, claiming that officials there intentionally created a campus environment where sexual assaults and rapes are foreseeably more likely to occur than they would in the absence of Liberty's policies. Hmm. And the thing is, Liberty says these are Bible-inspired rules that we have for our students. So they're not going to change them, which means women on campus are almost always going to be at risk. The school wasn't going to fix this on their own.
Yeah.
And that's what led the U.S. government, now under Joe Biden, to say, all right, we're taking their concerns seriously. We're not involved in the lawsuit, but we do have an obligation to make sure the federal funds you're getting do make sure kids are on a safe campus. So we're going to do what we can. And because the Department of Education is now run by people who care about that sort of thing, they began investigating, and that's what culminated this week. So, getting into the report that they issued, there were 11 serious findings, problems, outlined by the Department of Education. And I'm going to go into some of them. I won't take up all your time, but it's important to go over, here's what the problems were on campus. This is a 108-page document.
Fuck.
And like 90 pages is outlining these 11 things I'm about to tell you. So it's a long thing.
Yeah.
And it's worth reading in full because they did their homework, okay?
Okay.
Number one, lack of administrative capability. Basically, Liberty failed to comply with sexual violence prevention requirements. Mm-hmm. They failed to let the campus know when there were significant threats nearby. And they failed to send emergency notifications about dangerous situations.
Like what kind of dangerous situations?
There's a predator on campus. Hide in your dorms. That sort of thing.
Like literally like an active...
A threat on campus. Be on the lookout for this person. They did not send the stuff out.
Yikes.
The person whose job it was to make sure the school is following the Clery Act actually made a number of recommendations to school officials like, hey, we're not doing our job and we should be. And most of them, according to this person, quote, were rejected or ignored by senior management. And Liberty said, yeah, that's accurate. And
we
so
we sure did that. Do that. Thank you.
Number two. Inaccurate and incomplete informational disclosures. Liberty failed to complete and publish statements about campus safety and crime prevention policy. You know how some schools have like a police blotter? Communities have a police blotter? Well, you're supposed to publish that stuff so people kind of know what's going on. And they just didn't do that sort of thing.
Wow.
Maybe because they like their reputation, their self-described reputation.
Of being so safe.
As being one of the safest schools in the country.
For straight white men.
Yeah. Apparently since 2016, this is one specific example they cited. Let's say you're on campus and you've disappeared. I'm making this up. But like, let's say you've disappeared for 48 hours. Mm-hmm. Your dorm mates don't know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a perfectly legitimate reason you're gone. Maybe,
but there also might not be.
But there might not be. Like, maybe you decided to spend a weekend with your boyfriend or girlfriend somewhere. And that would violate Liberty's rules because you're not married yet. But technically, you've been missing for 48 hours. Well, apparently, since 2016, there were 40 reports of students who, quote, went missing for over 24 hours, not all of which were necessarily, like, reportable.
Yeah.
But no actions were taken in 40 incidents to alert people like, hey, we haven't seen Jessica in a while. Can you all find her?
Keep an eye out for her. So like when I'm driving down the highway and it's like Honda CRV, abducted person, and everyone's supposed to be on the lookout.
And you get your Amber Alert or whatever it is.
What they decided to do was say like...
Nothing.
If Jessica never reappears, we will never speak her name again.
Yeah. Like there were things they were supposed to do they did not do. Liberty agreed. Okay, number three.
Which is such a cult thing of like people just disappearing and you're like, don't worry about it.
Number three is your warning, this one's serious. Failure to comply with Violence Against Women Act requirements.
Well, that should not shock
Basically,
anybody.
Liberty did not tell alleged victims of sexual violence about their rights and options. They're supposed to say, like, okay, if you've been assaulted, for example, you may want to get birth control. You may want to get tested.
Mm.
Here's the law enforcement official. Here's the steps you should take in terms of law enforcement, who you should tell, what you should do at this point, all of that sort of stuff. They did not give that information to women who stepped forward to tell them any of this.
Yeah.
Even when employees at Liberty were like, we need to tell them their options here. And then they created their own materials to give to students that they made like on Microsoft Word back at home on their own time. Senior officials at Liberty rejected what they made to hand out.
Well, they hate word art, famously.
Yeah. The rules that were listed in the Liberty Way made it less likely that students would report crimes out of fear that they would be punished for supposedly contributing to their own assaults. And this is the example that stood out to me. In one case, according to the report, a student reported being raped under threat of a knife. But when the school looked into the matter, they said she consented to the sexual act. Why? Because she said she, quote, gave in to avoid a more serious attack. Basically, I'm saying this. There's a man with a knife there, and she's like, fine, fine.
Do whatever you have to do. Don't stab me.
Right. Because she said she gave in, Liberty said she consented to the act. That's an example of how they failed women.
Jesus Christ. Some students
also told investigators that because of Liberty's failures and because of the rules in the Liberty way, quote, they would have been better off if they had not reported these crimes in the first place. Liberty agreed, and they said they will do more. Number four.
Oh, my God.
Failure to identify and notify campus security authorities and to establish an adequate system for collecting crime statistics from all required sources. Basically, they didn't correctly collect crime data. They did not publish them in a way so that students could know what's happening in their own community, and this created a dangerous environment on campus. Crime statistics, according to the report, were substantially and systemically underreported.
It's so fucking insidious because they don't care about people, they don't care about students.
It's the safest campus in the country.
Sure as fuck don't care about women.
They also did not tell their own security officers about their obligations in order to abide by the Clery Act. Like, cool. here are these campus police officers saying, yeah, I'm here to do my job. And the school's like, they should say, well, to do your job as a campus security officer, here's what you got to do. They didn't do that. Number five, failure to properly classify and disclose crime statistics. Liberty, like I said, they didn't publish this data about on-campus crime, including sexual violence, for several years. In some cases, specific crimes were listed in a category called all other offenses. Like, they took a crime that had a specific category.
Like rape,
for example, and they put it in the other category where it was not classified in any meaningful way. In other cases, no documentation could be found to back up certain reported incidents. And the report noted that, quote, based on a review of this information, the Department of Education determined that Liberty failed to disclose 165 crimes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Here's another serious one. Failure to issue emergency notifications in accordance with federal regulations. Like I said earlier, they did not send out, like, emergency alerts to students, even when there were active threats on campus. That included, quote, credible bomb threats and gas leaks.
Gas leaks?
Yeah. In 2016, the report said, there was an on-campus bomb threat and an emergency alert was sent across campus, as it should have been. But because it generated bad publicity, like local news outlets saying, no, there was a bomb threat at Liberty University today. Thankfully, no one was hurt. But because it generated that sort of bad publicity, senior officials at Liberty, quote, took steps to make sure similar notifications did not become a common occurrence, even when they were justified. And at least one officer who sent out that bomb threat alert was subjected to disciplinary action for doing so.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, wait. In another case...
You don't have to tell me to wait, Hammond. I'm not leaving.
In another case, there was a football player who was accused of raping a student on campus.
But was he the quarterback, though?
He may have been. He was accused of raping a student on campus, then stalking the student.
Sure.
Then was convicted in court of stalking her.
Uh-huh.
He was still allowed to step foot on campus, and no alert was sent out to warn students about his presence there.
Cool.
This is even after he was convicted in a secular court. And wait, in 2018, there was a 14-year-old girl on campus.
No.
She was enrolled in, like, a summer program.
Don't let your 14-year-old coach Liberty University.
She said she was assaulted by an older man, and police officers said this was an attempted abduction. She was able to escape.
Jesus.
But they called it an attempted abduction. But no notification was sent out, even though law enforcement officers, they were taking this seriously. And presumably, if that 14-year-old girl was there as part of a summer youth camp, there were probably other 14-year-old girls there for summer youth camp, but no alert was sent out that, hey, someone almost got kidnapped, so maybe be on the lookout and don't let the kids go anywhere by themselves. Nope, nothing like that. That was number six. Shall I go on?
Yeah.
I will. Number 7, failure to issue timely warnings in accordance with federal regulations. Liberty was supposed to tell students and employees about ongoing threats. They chose not to. Between 2016 and 2021, even though there were 284 Clery reportable crimes, things that should have been aware by everyone on campus, only one timely warning was issued, and even that one didn't go far enough. That one involved a robbery and assault and battery of a student. Like, if that happened on campus, you better let everyone know right now so that they're protected. Students were not warned about it. Separately, here's a low-stakes type of act like this. Over a span of 3 months, there were 9 instances of motorized scooters that were stolen. Kids were riding to school on, like, their motorized bikes, motorcycles, whatever.
Moped.
They were stolen, 9 of them.
That's a lot.
After, like, number 2 or 3, you would think,
that's a string.
There is someone taking scooters, so maybe don't bring it, lock it up, whatever, be on the lookout,
well,
whatever.
I mean, what were the scooters wearing, and were they drinking?
Only after the 9th
Guys,
theft.
Guys, that was really funny of me.
Only after the 9th theft was a notification sent out.
I mean,
they
safest campus in the country.
Yeah. Number 8, failure to maintain an accurate and complete daily crime log. They were supposed to keep track of all this stuff. They did not. That included, according to the report, an alleged rape that was committed by a former Liberty president.
Excuse me?
Now, when that was put out in October in that initial report, Jerry Falwell...
Not me! Who was me?
That is exactly what he did.
Of course he did.
He insisted that was absolutely not an
allegation
about me.
And how long was he president?
A long time.
Oh, interesting.
For what it's worth, follow-up reporting suggests it was not him. There is another dude who was alleged, but you don't know his name. We don't know. It's fine.
That is
like,
very
it's not okay,
funny for
but
me.
But it's not Jerry Falwell.
No, I mean, that's not funny. But the idea that he's like, I've been the president for 32 years, but this ain't me, my friend.
Yeah, like of all the things he did, that's not one of them.
Right.
In many cases, when multiple crimes happened at once, Liberty only logged the most serious crime, and they let all the smaller things, relatively speaking, just kind of drip out.
So they you murdered somebody, and they're like, well,
and you stole his wallet.
We'll get you for the murder, but you didn't break in.
Right.
You didn't assault anybody else. Yeah. You didn't stalk, that's for goddamn sure.
The report said things like simple assault, weapons offenses, and alcohol and drug infractions were omitted from the reports.
Interesting. Yeah. That there is that a pattern, I wonder, of omitting alcohol? No, because if it's a girl, then they want her to be held responsible, so they'll...
They'll get her on the alcohol.
Yeah, so now I'm wondering, like, if they use that alcohol trump card, you know what I mean, as, like, leveraging... You know, I mean, it's sinister, but what if this isn't sinister? Of like, hey, I understand that you were raped, but you were drinking, so if you
We'll put you
just,
under for alcohol.
Right.
Right. The data shows that 93% of the required line items in Liberty's daily crime logs were deficient or missing during the review period. In 2022 alone, the Department of Education found that 571 crimes that should have been logged were ignored by the school entirely.
In 2021 alone?
2022, yep.
2022, so more than, like, 1.5 crimes a day, and they're like, no, thank you. Yep. Oh my God, it's Friday.
Yep.
I don't wanna.
Number 9.
I've got a case of the Mondays.
On Friday, yes.
Yeah.
Failure to define Clery geography in accordance with federal regulations.
Basically, Clery geography?
Liberty is supposed to account for crimes in their geographic space.
Okay.
Where is their campus? Because anything that happens in your circle, you're on the hook for reporting this stuff. And they said, fine, our circle is right here. And basically the government's like, yeah, but you own a building 2 feet away from your circle over there, and that's your place. And they're like, no, it's not. And they're like, what about the road outside the circle? And they're like, come on, that's the cities. We don't care about that. What about the building where all your kids go that is just off campus over there and you tell them to live there? They're like, yeah, we don't care about
like
that.
Like the dorms are not considered part of Liberty campus? Is that what you're saying to me?
Let me tell
right
you
now?
What was not included. According to Liberty, this is outside their scope.
Oh boy.
Liberty Christian Academy, which is like a K-12 private school that they run. Cool. That was off campus for them. There is a Fairfield.
So we don't have to worry about those six-year-olds. Yeah. Because they're probably drinking anyway.
That's right. The Fairfield Inn is a hotel that is on campus. Mm-mm. That, like, if you're a parent visiting your kid, you might stay at the hotel.
Oh, I'm familiar with on-campus hotels,
well,
my dude.
The hotel was not considered part of their geographical area.
Obviously.
There is a nearby Center for Engineering Research and Education. Didn't count.
Local
Imagine
getting your engineering degree from fucking Liberty.
One plus one equals Trinity, whatever. The local roads around campus did not count. Here's an interesting one. I didn't know this existed, but it does. Let's say you're a woman at Liberty.
I will.
And you are pregnant and you're not married. Well, they should expel you because they know what you did. But Liberty has an option for you saying, like, oh, you don't want to get expelled? Fine, but we know what you did, and you know what you did, and it violates the Liberty way. So what you can do is you can go to the Liberty Godparent Home, where unmarried pregnant students are required to stay if they want to avoid expulsion.
Is this a Magdalene school in Liberty University?
Yes. But according to
Liberty... This is a Magdalene school where people send their unwed daughters to go have kids and then come back and be like, oh my God, I had a miracle baby. She's a big sister.
Liberty,
or more likely, take that baby away and kill it or the parent.
It's called the Liberty Godparent Home.
It's so sinister.
And Liberty said...
Gang, if you don't know about Magdalene schools...
down Wikipedia and go down that rabbit hole. Liberty said, oh yeah, that building, that's not one of ours. We don't care about crimes that happen there.
And it's called the Liberty University. thing. And they're like, no. Yeah. It's Liberty with a lowercase L and a lowercase U.
The reason Liberty gets
it's named after my relative Liberty University, so you can't help hold us compliant for that.
The reason Liberty gets so much money in student loans is not because they have a gazillion students on campus. It's because they run this massive online education program like Phoenix University.
I know somebody who's a student there.
They have a building called the Liberty University Online Facility to run their massive online operation.
Are you describing a computer lab?
Yeah. And that facility was not included in their geography. No, there's also a medical group, like all the doctors on campus.
If you're on their online university, do you have to comply?
Yep.
Like, they couldn't know if I'm just like drinking a glass of wine while I'm taking my test, could they?
Gotta sign your statement of faith.
I guess.
If other stuff, I don't know. Anyway, that was number 9. The government's like, dude, this is all your shit.
Guys,
you got to account for this.
Guys, you gotta.
Number 10, failure to comply with Title IV record retention. Basically, Liberty didn't keep good paperwork. And this failure, I'm quoting from the report, this failure has caused actual harm to individuals who have tried to access their own educational and employment records and has compromised the department's ability to conduct required oversight and monitoring activities.
Yeah, I got a job in 2017 that I needed to have my college degree, like my physical college degree for, which is A, insane, but B, like,
I have no idea what my diploma is.
Yeah, I think I had to get one from Ball State. Like, I don't know. And if they didn't have it, would I not have gotten that terrible job?
Right.
How would my life be different?
This was an interesting thing in October when they published this part of the report. It said, quote, senior officials in HR, according to the government, when the investigation began, senior officials in HR sought the assistance of IT staff to wipe certain computer hard drives on April 26, 2022, the very week that the review team first visited the campus.
No. Wait. Hold on. Let me make sure I got that.
You don't want to make a big deal about this.
Why?
The government said they're wiping the computers right when we're coming to visit.
Yeah.
Liberty responded to that one. They said, I know it looks bad. But
we have a regularly scheduled computer wipe system 2 weeks ahead of any government intervention. It's just our policy.
I know.
The Liberty way.
The government heard their response and they said, okay, we looked into it. You did wipe your hard drives, but everything that was on there, you did upload to the cloud and you saved it. So we hear your evidence. There is no ill intent. We'll erase that one from like our list. Okay, fine.
Which is so funny because the least offensive thing that they did was like delete porn off their PC. Like, come on, guys. You're letting women just dangle as bait out on your campus. And you're like, yeah, we got to keep those boobies off my hard drive.
Number 11, low-key.
Blast my cash when I'm dead.
Last one, number 11. Failure to publish and distribute annual security report in accordance with federal regulation. Again, Liberty was supposed to share information about crime on campus with everyone on campus. And if you're a senior in high school, you want to know more about Liberty, you should also have that information accessible to you. Mm. They did not do that for several years. Liberty agreed. They said they'll fix it. So those are the 11 things that the government said you did wrong. Mm. Liberty got a chance to respond to everything. There was actually a 12th thing the government said, failure to protect whistleblowers from retaliation.
Oh, and wow. Basically, that's a pretty fucking basic one.
Yeah, the government said that there was an employee, this is back in October, they said there was an employee who raised concerns about how the school responded to that lawsuit from 12 women who...
Yeah.
You
said this is a student or an employee?
There were 12 women who filed that lawsuit about how they were treated as victims of sexual violence. There was someone at the school, working at the school, who said, the way you were handling this is not okay.
Wow.
That person was fired 2 days later.
Wow.
Well, hold that thought. Then that person was supposed to be given a severance package, but the school said, you're only going to get it if you sign this non-disclosure agreement, and the employee refused to do that. Now, that's what the government said back in October. Liberty said, we have a response to that. And their response basically said, we have legitimate, non-discriminatory reasons for terminating the employee. And whatever the reason was, the government heard it, and they said, we find this, quote, persuasive. So the school was not punished for that. That's why that last finding seemed damning, but that was taken off the list. Okay, so after all that... Liberty takes all this report. This is what's made public. Liberty says we'll pay the $14 million. We will also allow a government official to monitor us to make sure we're complying with the law.
I would kill for that job.
I know, right? They did issue a press release saying, you know, while we were subject to, quote, selective and unfair treatment from the government.
Yeah.
We admit there were numerous deficiencies that existed in the past. We acknowledge and regret these past failures and have taken these necessary improvements seriously.
It's so funny that, like, they just can't take the L. They just can't say, like, yeah, we got busted and we're paying for it. It's like, I mean, obviously the reason they're even looking at us is unfair.
They're doing it because we're Christian.
Yeah, like, it's so, like, they always have to have their little pop in, right?
Yeah. There is one other thing I did not mention, which is that years ago, the Liberty Way, their rule book is still in effect, but they do now have an amnesty system in place, basically saying if you come to us and you say you suffered sexual violence or something, and you were at a party and you were drinking, we will let that other shit slide.
Wow, so brave of them.
But the amnesty policy, according to students, they were like, yeah, it existed, but one, no one trusted it.
Yep.
And two, you didn't really tell everyone there was this policy. You had to go searching for it. Now the school says we will better communicate that this exists to everybody because we're not changing our rules.
Sure.
But we will let everyone know about this. But the bottom line is Liberty's problems were systemic. They were not a mistake. They chose to downplay crime, whether out of sheer incompetence or because they wanted to lie and present a better vision of their school to prospective students. The end result is everyone's less safe because of the negligence of school officials.
Truly.
Before the $14 million fine, the biggest Clery Act violation, do you know how much it was?
Oh, God. I don't know. $2 million?
$4.5 million, and it was to Michigan State in the wake of the Larry Nassar scandal because they didn't keep kids safe.
That puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Because
right?
Larry Nassar was an all-time villain.
Yeah, and so this dwarfs that fine. But here's the thing, and you mentioned this at the beginning of this subject. The school's endowment is north of $2 billion. They, like we said, they made $880 million in one school year alone from student loan payments.
Yeah.
Like, this is pocket change for them. They won't feel the financial loss. But the big takeaway for me is that a conservative Christian school could not be trusted to do the right thing, even when it came to student safety, until the government forced their hand and publicly shamed them along the way. If you let the school do this on its own, everyone would still be in danger. But thanks to Biden and the Department of Education, that's finally now going to change. Now the biggest danger is whatever the hell they learn in their classes.
Well, now I think that I don't think it's unfair to extrapolate that if the kind of people who run Liberty University were to regain or gain power in this country, don't you think this is a template of how they're going to go after it? Of downplaying crimes specifically against women and victim blaming, things like that. Like, this is coming for us all. This is not something that is going to be like, okay, here I go. right now, the way laws are, which criminalize sex work and a lot of drug use, that leaves those people, women, specifically women who work in sex work, extraordinarily vulnerable. Because if they are assaulted, if they are raped while doing sex work, it is hard for them to go to the police because they have been doing something illegal and they are aware of that. So they lose that police protection. This is the exact same thing that happens in the inner cities when a police gets called and all they do is shoot whoever happens to be nearby. When you lose your systemic protections, then these kinds of things are going to happen. And so if we continue to make things like IFV and abortion illegal, this is the kind of thing that is coming for us, that no matter what, if there's a botched abortion and you almost die, well, abortion was illegal. You shouldn't have been getting one in the first place. So this is coming for us all. This is their vision for the future, is that as long as we can tell the rest of the world, America number one, so safe, can't believe it, and they can bury all their skeletons in their closet, sorry to mix metaphors, this is what they want. This is what they're looking for. This is their ideal. And if they hadn't gotten popped by the feds, then they would keep on doing this. And I guarantee you anybody in Trump's circle is looking at this, not as a lesson to be learned, but as a template to how to get away with shitty laws.
Mm-hmm. And if a different person is in charge of the Department of Education, this stuff does not happen.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses.
I've been getting a lot of letters from them recently.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, handwritten.
And it's worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I don't celebrate my birthday or
there you go.
Christmas.
Get blood. Yeah.
I don't get blood transfusions. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, this week, a Norwegian court upheld a major decision to rescind their religious community status. The religious community status of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I'll tell you what that means in a second, but bottom line is, it blocks the Jehovah's Witnesses from getting taxpayer dollars and performing marriages.
Oh, so okay. It's, you know, however we... you just keep talking.
Sure. So here's the thing that happens in Norway. They have a national church, but even though a lot of people are not religious, but it's one of these countries where religion is literally supported by taxpayers.
Right.
The more members you have, the more money your preferred religious or humanist organization gets. Mm-hmm. Any religious group with 50 members can apply to get this taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. In 2021...
Is it kind of like becoming a nonprofit in the U.S.?
Yes, okay. In a sense. But you actually get money from the government for existing.
Oh, gotcha.
And in 2021, 724 different groups, one of the groups is the Catholic Church.
Sure.
724 groups are getting funding as of 2021.
Hmm.
And the law is pretty open. We don't care what you believe, freedom of religion, you'll get the money regardless, with your membership numbers. But there are some lines in the sand. And that means if your group commits violence.
Ritual sacrifice. Boo.
Yeah. If your religious or philosophical community or anyone acting on your behalf commits violence or coercion, makes threats, violates children's rights, violates statutory discrimination prohibitions in other ways, if you violate the rights and freedoms of others, then we can say no to you. But if you believe some weird shit, that's not a reason.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. A group that endorses violence should not get taxpayer money. If you're hurting kids, violating human rights, sure, I'm with you. And look, there might be people who say, if you are against LGBTQ rights, that's violating human rights. Mm-hmm. That's a philosophical belief.
Sure.
That's not quite there. There are atheists who will say, Sunday school is a form of religious indoctrination. That is child abuse. But again, that's a philosophical issue.
Yes.
What the government's saying is, no, these things have to be irrefutable and not up for debate. But the basic thing is governments, the groups that receive this money, they cannot force people to remain members. They cannot threaten them.
Ooh.
They cannot threaten them in any way if they leave. They
Jehovah's Witnesses, I feel like, aren't great about that.
Oh, we're going to get to that. They can't make any kids pledge a lifelong commitment to them. They can't
can't make little girls marry their daddies?
That's right.
Weird.
You can't ban interaction with people outside your group.
What's it like having no freedom, Norway?
Basically, while practicing your faith is fine, according to the government, cult-like behavior, not okay. We're not going to reward you for it.
Okay.
So here's what happened with the Jehovah's Witnesses. In 2021... there were 12,686 members of the Jehovah's Witnesses. So
12,000? Okay.
12,000, 12,500 people.
That's a good chunk.
That meant the taxpayers were giving the Jehovah's Witnesses in Norway roughly in U.S. dollars, like $1.8 million
okay.
for all those members. Like 140
so is it
bucks
per
a
head
member.
You get?
Yeah, $140 per person, roughly.
All right. I could use that money.
In 2021, however, the government said, we're going to start looking into the Jehovah's Witnesses. Not on a whim, not on a lark, but because two former members and another whistleblower sent them letters saying the witnesses are violating the rules. It's not that any of these rules were secret, but the government needed paperwork to, like, cover its ass. Uh-huh. And so they're like, well, now that we have these formal letters saying they're violating the rules, we will go look into it.
Mm.
And what the thing is, some of the claims they made, the whistleblower, the other two people, some of them are up for debate. For example, one of the witnesses said members are not allowed to get involved in politics, which is true, because Jehovah's Witnesses don't vote, they don't campaign, they don't run for office, that's true. But one member argued that since voting in an election could lead to expulsion by the Jehovah's Witnesses, which is true, that meant members cannot interact with you once you've been kicked out, so the no voting rule is a violation of the law. That's their argument.
Is that a law, a rule they have in the U.S. as
yes.
well? Really? How now, have I never heard? I mean, I guess the blood transfusion
it's
thing
a bigger
is,
deal.
Yeah.
The Jehovah's Witnesses said, yeah, that is our rule, but we have every right to set our own policies, and we're not stopping you from voting. You're allowed to vote if you want to.
You just can't vote and be a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said. They said, that's not coercive. Those are our rules. Take it or leave it. And the government said, yeah, that's fine. That's your rules. Take it or leave it.
Mm.
But let's go back to the two issues that the government brought up.
Yeah.
Number one. Disfellowshipping.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you are a former JW and you leave the religion for whatever reason, you are effectively excommunicated.
Mm.
Current members are told you cannot have any meaningful interactions with that other person who just left.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea there is, I don't care if they're your son or daughter, if they leave, like, let's say you're 50, your son or daughter's 25, they say they no longer believe in God, they're no longer a witness.
See you never, dork.
See you never. You don't get to communicate with them, even as much as you want to. Don't invite them over for Thanksgiving, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that the former members will get so lonely, so depressed, they will eventually come crawling back.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shortage of stories of families that have been torn apart by this. And the state
it's
administrator...
It's a very common cult practice.
Yeah. What the government said is that Norwegian law requires all religions that get these taxpayer dollars to practice a right to free withdrawal. They should be allowed to leave your group if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's an obstacle to leaving your religion,
mm-hmm.
well, that's a pretty serious obstacle.
And that's such a tricky thing to figure out, right? Because when you talk about coercive behavior, it's, you know, if a person... Physically, they can leave the place, but if emotionally or financially, they are so intertwined into the church, they just
so
cannot.
So here's the difference. The Catholic Church, you can leave the Catholic Church if you want to. Now, will that create a rift in your family? Maybe.
But
will
the Catholic Church is not going to say, stop speaking to this person
That's
if they
right.
no longer believe. Which,
now, your
shockingly,
family, your family,
why is the Catholic Church the good guy in this scenario? Yeah. I hate this.
Your family might not want to have any interaction with you. You may lose your social safety net. You may lose your friends. But it's not prescribed under
exactly.
the Catholic rules. But in the Jehovah's Witnesses, for the Jehovah's Witnesses, that is the rule. So that's the problem. Disfellowshipping, according to the Norwegian administrator, can cause members to feel pressured to remain in the faith community, even when they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So that was number one. Number two, what do you do about children? Because if a child in a JW family makes it a habit to break the moral standards of the Bible and does not repent, the witnesses say you got to treat those kids kind of the same way. Now, let's say it's a 12-year-old kid who says, I don't believe in any of this stuff. You legally cannot, like, kick them out of your house. You cannot have no meaningful interactions with them. But the state administrators say you can stop that kid from having any contact with other close family members, like grandparents, aunts, uncles, or cousins. So, yeah, you got to live under our roof still. But no one else gets to talk to you.
And these people think they're the good guys.
Yeah. And the government said that puts pressure on the child to remain in the fold, which is a violation of their rights under the law. They said, quote, we consider social isolation a form of punishment against the child.
Yeah, so it absolutely is.
And the thing is, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Those are their rules. Mm-hmm. You cannot deny this is what they say. And because of those
It's what
two,
it says on the tin. It's what you get going in. This isn't a surprise like Scientology that like, oh
and
my
it's
God,
not
Xenu.
It's not a bad faith interpretation of what they believe. This is what they believe. Because of those two systematic and intentional offenses, neither of which the Jehovah's Witnesses denied, the state administrator said, all right, so you're not getting the money anymore. You can practice your faith. We're not going to arrest you, but you're not going to get rewarded for it. So $2 million gone each year. Now, the witnesses said at the time, we're going to appeal this. I don't know why. What are they going to appeal?
On what grounds?
Yeah, on what grounds?
Just
this
that
is their rule.
My religion. I mean, I guess that's always what's happening here is like, what's more important, your right to do whatever you want under religion or the rest of us to live among people who are free to think and say what they want.
So they had temporary sanctions placed against them in like 2021. Mm. At the end of 2022, they were made permanent. And the state administrator basically said, all right, you're no longer a religious community. That means you don't get the taxpayer dollars and you can't bless marriages that we're going to accept. So if you want your priest
you
to do the wedding, that's usually if you're Catholic and the priest is doing your marriage, that's fine. That counts.
Right.
But if the Jehovah's Witness has someone do your wedding, doesn't count.
They
still
would have
gotta
to go do like a courthouse wedding
that's
or whatever.
Right.
Interesting.
And so that's what happened in 2022. That's what led to the lawsuits. The Jehovah's Witnesses did not like that. They appealed. Mm. And what happened this week is that basically the Oslo District Court, which has the power to do this sort of thing, said, yeah, the state didn't do anything wrong in punishing the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Nice.
They had a trial back in January. Like, this was a serious thing. There was a trial over this.
Wow.
And basically, the decision to not give the Jehovah's Witnesses money in 2022 and 2023, that was upheld. That was $3.3 million that the Jehovah's Witnesses were suing for, saying, you owe us that money. We have all these members.
Yeah.
And they said, no, they were right to restrict you and not give you that money. And the other part of the law, the court decision is that, by the way, you have to pay the government's legal fees. That's $100,000 right there.
Whoopsie doodle. Oh, that puts them in an uncomfortable bind.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, going on like Reddit to the ex-Jehovah's Witness Reddit, and they're just so delighted and so appreciative. XJW. Like, they were just appreciative that a government actually did not let the, well, it's a religious group. You got to give them whatever they want. They're like, no, you handled it the way you should have handled it.
Right.
You treated them with the respect they deserved.
Right.
And they got punished.
Oh,
like, that was the right thing to do. By the way, the other unintended consequence of this whole story is that this going after the Jehovah's Witnesses like this, deservedly so, has made more people in Norway aware of the fact that, oh, my taxpayer dollars fund religion, and it doesn't have to be that way, because they all might say, well, I belong to the Evangelical Lutheran Church. It's like our national church. Why? Not because I believe, but because that's my family, it's my culture, it's my tradition, whatever. Well, guess what? In 2016, as people became more aware of this stuff, the nation's Evangelical Lutheran Church launched a website to keep track of your membership.
Sure.
And that plan backfired because thousands of people used the website to opt out of church
membership.
Depriving the church of that funding. Like, it wasn't just a symbolic move.
Yeah.
They don't get that money anymore.
Do you know in the U.S., does it work in any similar way? Like, I
not
know.
Not taxpayer dollars.
No.
Not like that.
I know for a fact I'm still on like the Catholic rolls.
And if you want to take the steps, and there are a lot of steps to take your name off the Catholic rolls, you could do it, but to what end? It doesn't change anything.
Truly. And also, I don't know where I got baptized because my parents did not go to church. True story. I might have said this already. According to my dad, the reason my brother and I got baptized is because my grandmothers, both of them on either side, threatened to kidnap us if they didn't.
Nice.
So, yay, God.
This is also true of the Mormon church. Like, you can go through the process. There are ways to do it.
Right.
But also, to what end? Other than it symbolically feels good? Maybe that's important for you.
Yeah.
In 2015...
It's closure for you. Yeah.
In 2015, there was a semi-scandal in Norway because the Catholic Church was basically fined $5 million for fraudulently registering thousands of people because they got taxpayer dollars for it.
Wow.
Also, when the church, Catholic Church, created an app for members to be hip and modern, more than 11,000 Norwegians resigned because all they had to do was push some buttons.
Jeez.
That was awesome. But again, there, it actually matters. It's not symbolic.
Right.
Now you're saying, I don't want my money going to the church.
Right.
And now that you're telling me that this is what happens, if I don't believe, then shouldn't everyone want to say, well, if you don't believe, then we don't want you as a member? But not religious groups. They're like, just stay. We get money for you.
Let's go to Norway.
Let's do it.
You don't eat fish, though. I feel like that would be difficult for you.
I'm sure there's good Thai and Mexican food there.
Mexican food in Norway!
This is why I don't travel out of country. let's talk about one more, well, at least one more thing I need to talk about this week, which
you
is that
to.
I need to. In Missouri, Larry and Carmen Musgrave, they are the elderly owners of a Christian boarding school in Missouri called Lighthouse Christian Academy, run by their ABM Ministries, and they're now in jail.
Always be.
Nope, don't even try.
Masturbating.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was going
to say
meditating.
Coming from a mile away.
Listen,
and
I didn't know where I was
going to
go. I couldn't think of an M word fast
Weird,
enough.
Because I knew where you were going. They're now in jail.
A, always B, B. Go ahead.
Because they kidnapped a student.
What?
Yeah, you fell right into that one.
Sure did. How old?
I don't really know.
Really?
But here's the story.
Because I feel like kidnapping a 7-year-old and a 17-year-old, while both evil.
Yeah.
Slightly different, right?
Here's the story. I'm going to tell you the sheriff's office version of the story first, because according to the Wayne
We're
County...
Missouri?
Missouri. Okay. Wayne County, Missouri Sheriff's Office, they said, following an investigation that began several months ago, we've been doing an investigation because there were several calls of runaways from this Lighthouse Christian Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And after interviewing former students, I'm trying to paraphrase this long letter.
Uh-huh.
They said, we arrested this couple that runs this place, and we place them under arrest for the charge of kidnapping in the first degree. I don't know the details of the kidnapping, supposedly, but the sheriff said, I anticipate more charges as the investigation continues.
Okay.
Interesting. Keep that in your mind. Something else to know is that Christian boarding schools in Missouri have been under fire for years now because there's no regulation in Missouri.
Right, right.
So we've talked about a place called the Circle of Hope Girls Ranch and Boarding School because they got shut down. For
Circle of Hope? I have heard of
we
this.
Also
a ranch and boarding school?
Yep. Agape Boarding School in the same state. All of these places were basically exposed, shut down because they're just hell houses. They're abuse factories.
Yeah, they really are.
And it happens because they're unregulated. Yeah. They rely on their faith label to win the trust of unsuspecting families. And the families are told, like, oh, you have a troublesome teen? If you send them to us, they'll get faith-based rehabilitation. Mm. And all you got to do is give us a shit ton of money.
Truly.
But instead of making anything better, these Christian ranches become a hotbed of physical, emotional, sometimes sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are far worse off than when they entered.
And I will say, this is not just a problem with Christian schools. This was a problem with private, secular schools as well, especially if you're younger than Hammett and I. We were both born in the 80s. You might not remember every daytime talk show had once a week, like, my kid's out of control. And then they have somebody come up, like some guy in fatigues.
Yeah.
Yep. Come on and scream in their face. And then they send them off to military school. The reality is these military schools were just, like you said, torture chambers. There's a documentary called The Last Stop about the Elon School. Paris Hilton famously was a victim at a boarding school like this. These boarding schools writ large are a hotbed of abuse. And I think there's another new documentary out about a Colorado-based one. Like, kids dying of, like, they're doing, like, 12 mile marches and they don't get water. This is the kind of thing they do.
Oversight would be good.
Yeah.
So that I told you the sheriff's version of the kidnapping story. He said this started several months ago and there may be more charges coming.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Here's the other side of the story. Well, another side of the story. last month, the Kansas City Star published a story about all this. It was from two reporters, Laura Bauer and Judy Thomas. And they wrote a story about how two children ran away from Lighthouse Christian Academy.
Wow.
They were 12 and 14.
Jesus.
They had walked miles without coats in temperatures hovering between the high 30s and low 40s.
Shit.
They flagged down a random driver, her name is Sierra Osborne, who took them in for safety.
Oh my
and
God.
They told this woman, this stranger woman, the staff often berates them. They hit them for doing things like not getting their chores done fast enough. The lady said they were just terrified. They were shaking. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just because they were that cold or what. But basically, she then posted on Facebook about this, and she said at the end of this long post, they said multiple times that they needed help, but they didn't want to go back to the boys' home. They told me about the abuse. Mm. I understand these boys are troubled boys and they can make stuff up, but this is the third time hearing these things about this boy's home, and no child should have to go through
third
this.
Third time?
Yeah. My heart is breaking for these kids, and I hope they get justice. The police didn't ask any questions, and as far as I know, they aren't taking any action on this. Is there anything I can do to draw attention to this? I just believe they should be investigated or something.
Well, she got on this podcast, so...
Well, there you go.
She's going to reach dozens of people.
The Kansas City Star said they spoke to a girl who attended the school 2 decades ago when it was co-ed, and she said they were forced to do manual labor. She was physically abused. She was placed in a literal chokehold.
Jesus,
that doesn't seem to have changed. And now, since the beginning of 2024, 5 boys have run away from the school. The sheriff told them all 5 have since gone home, not to the ministry, but home. So I don't know why the arrest of the Musgraves, who ran this place, I don't know why it happened now when former students said, we've been telling law enforcement about this place for years.
I bet somebody who has money actually got abused.
Even after the 2 boys were picked up by this woman, Osborne, last month, and residents told authorities about it, they were told, quote, they didn't provide enough information to meet the criteria to launch an investigation. But now the sheriff, after arresting the Musgraves, says, no, we launched an investigation several months ago. Who are you going to believe? I don't know what's going on there.
To quote Britta Perry, cops aren't philosophers. They're crossing guards with guns. Like, let's not put too much on these sweet boys. They're doing their best. No, they're not. They're evil.
I also don't necessarily know why the Musgraves were charged with kidnapping. Because that's not explained clearly.
Well,
I'll give you a hint, maybe in a little bit.
Is it that they kidnap children, like, at their parents' behest?
Like,
because that's a very common thing, that they would, like, these parents are like, you know, little Johnny is getting C-minuses in his school, and that's not good enough. So why don't you guys, this is true, this is not me making bullshit up, why don't you guys come and kidnap my human child, put him in a trunk, and bring him to the Elon school or whatever
to fix him?
Come
back to this in a moment, and I will finish that thought for you.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Also, when the law enforcement officials arrested the Musgraves, and then they went to the school on Friday of last week, there were 19 boys still there. I don't know what's going on with the boys who were already enrolled at
the school. Is there staff still?
I assume staff was there as well.
Jesus.
But here's how bad these Christian boarding schools are in Missouri. The ones I mentioned earlier and this one. After some of these stories began making headlines for alleged acts of abuse, it was so disturbing that Republicans who run Missouri's legislature, they passed a bill requiring some oversight of these schools.
Republicans demanded oversight?
Yes. And so now, after
how many
years,
unborn babies died?
I know. After so many years of being fully exempt.
What did it? They're like, oh my God, they gave abortions. We have to go in.
After so many years of being totally exempt from statewide regulations, now they have to do a few things. They have to meet basic health and safety guidelines.
Wow. Conduct, the man's really keeping them down.
Conduct background checks on their employees.
Don't tread on me.
Provide students with basic necessities like food and health care.
That's socialism.
Yeah, and give parents access to their kids at all times, which
wasn't
a thing.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's really important to note. Like, this is like fucking Camp Cresty. Like, it's truly so insidious. Like, golly, it's really easy to find people who are willing to physically and emotionally dominate children, and
no
that
kidding.
Should be more upsetting than it is.
Maybe the arrest of the Musgraves shows that some of these older students can finally get some closure.
Yeah.
If they are actually convicted of first-degree kidnapping, and I don't know the details, they could face, by Missouri law, 10 to 30 years behind bars, which could be life sentences for both of them. Interestingly enough, when I was researching this story, I found a post on Reddit. It was made literally a month ago, so before the arrests, but it was from an anonymous person who said, the title of the post is ABM Ministries, and it's a pinned post. So anyone looking up this school would find this post, hopefully. And she wrote, I'm creating this post in hopes of reaching people who might be looking into ABM Ministries in Piedmont, Missouri. whether you're looking into the school because you're thinking about sending your child there, or maybe in the future, people will finally be hearing about this place on the news.
Wow.
Either way.
Cassandra speaks.
Either way, I'm glad you found this. I attended in 2008, 2009. I was 15, yada, yada, yada. What I endured there was anything but whatever they advertised. The physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual abuse that I and so many other children experienced were criminal. Carmen and Larry Musgraves were manipulative to parents. They used children for physical labor. The school has had 5 children run away in the last month. Local police and news stations are unwilling to acknowledge the activities. I would love to see a day of justice for the kids involved. No child deserves to suffer abuse. I did reach out to her. She did not get back to me.
For her, though. That's really brave.
But yeah, interesting that she posted that. Another side note is that the Kansas City Star noted that the Musgraves and a principal of the school, Craig Smith, they were sued in 2009 for sexual abuse because that principal allegedly groomed a student when she enrolled there, then committed multiple acts of sexual bodily contact. And the lawsuit was actually settled in 2010, according to court records. $100,000 judgment against Smith and a $750,000 judgment against the ministry and the Musgraves.
Wow.
So, like, religious people who cloak themselves in faith-based rhetoric, they're the threat to kids, not the drag queens or LGBTQ people or liberal allies.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting side note is that the people who ran the Circle of Hope Girls Ranch and Boarding School, Boyd and Stephanie Householder, they're having their trial this fall. They have already pleaded not guilty to 102 criminal charges of child abuse, but their trial begins in the fall. And the last thing I would mention, that one of those Christian boarding schools, there was a guy who worked there who basically left because that place got shut down.
Sure.
His name was Julio Sandoval. Guess where he went to go work right after that?
The other one.
This one.
Yeah, I sure did.
Lighthouse Christian Academy. But the reason he made headlines a while ago...
It's a very Catholic church of them.
In 2022, he was arrested and charged with, wait for it, abducting a child. And this is the part I wanted to get back to.
Whoa.
In 2021...
He personally was charged.
Uh-huh. In 2021, a woman contacted him because she wanted to send her son to Lighthouse Christian Academy.
Ooh.
But because there was an order of protection that the child filed against her due to alleged domestic abuse...
The mother,
she was legally forbidden from interacting with him. So in order to get her son from California to Missouri, she reached out to this guy, Sandoval, and the two of them hired outsiders to do the job for them. The boy was handcuffed, forced into a car, transported across state lines, and held at the boarding school until his father came there to rescue him. Both of them were arrested for participating in the scheme, the mother and this guy, Sandoval. Jesus. He pleaded not guilty. He's going on trial in October. He faces up to 5 years in jail and a $250,000 fine. So the Musgraves were also arrested for kidnapping. Mm. Is it because of something like this? I don't know, because they didn't give details, but it could be.
Mm. Wow. Well, I hate to have been proven right so quickly, but yeah, the kidnapping piece is genuinely one of the more fucked up things, especially considering it is the one thing that they are doing in front of the parents' face. You know what I mean? Like, if these parents are like, these people are going to bodily carry my child out of my house, I'm sure they'll be in good care in this school in the middle of nowhere with no supervision from grown-ups.
With the guy in the fatigues.
With the guy in the fatigues screaming the F slur at kids. You got more.
I got one last one for you. I'm going to end on a good note. In the U.S. government... It's good news for Biden, which you never see, okay?
Weird.
So I want to give... I'm beginning with that. I'm going to end with that. Not beginning. Somewhere in there. There's good news for Biden. They do good stuff.
Just keep talking.
Okay. The U.S. government works with religious organizations to provide social services a lot.
Uh-huh.
They give them money to say, oh, you're running a soup kitchen? We need a soup kitchen. Oh, you're a church-based soup kitchen? That's fine.
No notes.
Do your job. We won't tell you how to do your religion, but if you're helping the homeless and you're feeding the hungry... We want you to do that, so we'll give you money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing wrong with that, as long as the group doesn't use the money to advance their religious beliefs or pressure people into adopting their religious beliefs or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016, under Obama, there were rules put in place to let recipients of these social programs know what their rights were. For example, there's a ban on religious discrimination for any of these groups. They can't say, I'm not going to give you help because of whatever you believe.
Right.
There was a requirement that these groups tell recipients of their religious rights. Like telling them, you don't have to, we're doing a prayer before we give you the food.
Not mandatory.
It's not mandatory. If a recipient has a...
It's just manipulative.
If a recipient has a fundamental problem with the religious nature of the group providing the aid, those groups had to refer recipients to somebody else who could take care of them.
Interesting.
And more importantly, all recipients were told that if there are violations of these protections, you can report it to us and we will look into it.
Does that extend into like LGBTQ stuff or is it just religion versus not religion?
Like
or do you
know?
If
there's a soup kitchen and they want to discriminate against you because you're gay or something, I don't think they were allowed to do that if they got federal funding.
Got
to
it. Okay. Help. Oh, because they're protected class. Okay.
Yeah. So again, sensible rules. It doesn't stop you from your religious beliefs. It's not infringing on your beliefs. Doesn't stop your organization.
I'll wait for a Christian to tell me it's not infringing on their belief.
It just put more legal rights in the hands of recipients.
Sure.
Donald Trump comes into office.
Oh.
And in the month after, when he was a lame duck, after the 2020 election, but before he was trying to do the insurrection.
I remember this.
Yep. His administration formally walked back all of those protections. Because, you know, they want to help the religious groups.
Sure.
Specifically, the faith-based groups that get federal funding, they no longer had to refer recipients to alternative providers. They no longer had to inform recipients of their legal rights. It also said, oh, if we're giving you money and you want to do the prayer, like, yeah, it's cool.
Go
you can
nuts.
Use our money to help you out with that stuff. The Obama rules required a separation between those worlds, like your religious beliefs and your work. And the Trump said, no, you don't have to separate those two. They also allowed faith-based groups to require attendance for any activities deemed necessary for recipients getting the services. So, oh, you want dinner from us? Then you got to come to the prayer meeting beforehand.
Cool.
Okay. So the Trump administration said those changes were necessary because of the previous rules under Obama placed unequal burdens on religious organizations, cast unwarranted suspicion on them, and were in tension with their religious liberty rights.
Hammond did quite a little act out with that. That was nice.
And again, this applies to food banks, homeless shelters, domestic violence shelters, job training, elderly care. They could foist religion on all of these people now.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm just sitting thinking about like, truly, the religious right is to the point that they're like, we want to hate whoever we want. And the fact that you guys won't let us hate the right people is discrimination against us. Like, imagine going through your life thinking that this is a good argument. This is definitely a good thing.
At the time when these rules went into effect, Melissa Rogers, who had been the executive director under Obama of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, she's no longer in that role under Trump. She said on Twitter at the time, like, these changes are harmful because you can't benefit from protections you don't know you have. And by not telling people what their rights are, how are they supposed to be helped out, right?
I mean, shouldn't it be like an OSHA thing of like, you need to post the poster on your, like in the US, you need to put like the OSHA rules in your like break room or whatever so people know it. Is this what we have to do to churches too?
And so after these rules were finalized under Trump, there was a coalition of religious and non-religious groups that filed a lawsuit over these changes, saying it would lead to religious discrimination. It would make it more difficult, they said, for non-religious people, members of minority faiths, people whose identities are disapproved of or condemned by faith-based groups, to obtain these services now because of what you're doing. It's more difficult to report violations. American Atheists, specifically, which was party to this lawsuit, said, we did a survey of our members, 34,000 non-religious people were surveyed, and substantial numbers reported negative experiences in receiving mental health, substance abuse, reproductive health, and other health services because of their non-religious identity. And if you're saying they now need to get help from federally funded groups, it's going to be even harder for them. So that's why they were suing.
But they're not Christian, so who gives a fuck about
them? The lawsuit
them?
Also pointed out that groups like the Freedom From Religion Foundation and American Atheists, they would now have to devote more of their resources to letting recipients of federal aid know about their non-religious rights.
I'm not sure I follow that.
Basically, they're saying we have members who might need soup kitchens or shelters, and now we have to stop doing our work to let them know what their rights are because the government's not doing it for them anymore.
Sure, okay.
And that stops us
from... So it's just
a
matter of resources going to something that shouldn't be happening.
And that's a diversion of resources you're forcing us to do, so we're suing you so we don't have to do that.
Right.
But then Joe Biden became president. Mm-hmm. Melissa Rogers, that critic who worked under Obama, she was back in that same position again.
Nice.
And they said, look, we're going to look into undoing all that damage. Mm-hmm. So the lawsuit was put on hold and it was just paused. Mm-hmm. And this week, their proposed changes that the Biden administration made, they were finalized.
Nice.
And so here's basically the big takeaways. Recipients of federally funded aid, they will be informed of their religious freedom rights.
Good.
That's important. Biden administration also said, if you need us to draft a template for you, we will do that. And also, to avoid any lawsuits, the faith-based groups, if someone comes to them and says, like, I don't feel comfortable getting, like, Christian charity or something for whatever reason, before, under Obama, they would have to tell you where else you could get help. But we know if there's one thing Christians, conservative Christians, hate, it's like telling you...
Options.
It's options. It's telling you what your options are. Uh-huh. So now the faith-based groups do not have to direct recipients elsewhere. What they can say is ask the government, and the government will tell you what your options are. That kind of avoids a potential lawsuit, but it puts less of a burden on religious groups who have the source resources. So that kind of sucks, but okay, I get why they're doing it.
Right.
Also... the recipients of federally funded aid will be told they don't have to attend or participate in religious activities. And that also applies to vouchers. If they got indirect money, like a coupon to use wherever, in the past, that was not as strong as just going to the shelter or something.
Sure.
But now they're saying, no, we don't care if you're using direct aid or indirect aid. You don't have to participate in religious activities.
Okay.
That's good. However, if you're using a voucher, you may not be guaranteed like a secular alternative some places. So that sucks, but okay, fine, it's something.
The coercive element seems to be slightly less.
Yeah.
Okay.
Faith-based providers also can't discriminate on the basis of their religion because they might have said, oh, we don't work with like same-sex married couples or something. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed to do that anymore. So it's something.
Boy, I love lawsuits getting Christians to do the minimum of the nice thing.
Story
or
of
the right
all of
thing.
This,
not
right?
even nice. Oh, Christ, these people.
The administration said government agencies would be encouraged, but not required, to fund programs that help recipients find service providers that are compatible with their beliefs, which is good and important and nice. All the church-state separation groups, they applauded these moves. They were fighting for this, the lawsuit. They're waiting to see, like, okay, we're reading the fine print here to make sure we don't actually need the lawsuit anymore, but it looks like that's going to go away. And that's all well and good. The rule changes will go into effect on April 3rd. But again, this is why you vote for Biden, even if you don't love everything about him. It's because these small things that will not make headlines, these make a difference to a lot of people.
They really do.
Okay. I'm done.
That's it?
That's a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot. How long was that?
Too long. you can support this podcast by going to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. To get your bonus episodes and ad-free episodes. We appreciate it. You can also leave a review on iTunes or wherever. If you got the new Apple iPhone update and you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, you can now press a button to get a transcript of the entire episode.
Oh,
that's
dope.
True of all podcasts now.
That's really cool.
That's a neat feature that just happened. So if you haven't updated your phone, you should try that.
Awesome. You can also leave us a review on the iTunes. This latest one is from Started with Ninja, my running companion. I've been an avid reader of Hemant's blog since around 2008, and I've been listening to this podcast for a few years. I figured it was time to leave a review. I look forward to the release of each new episode because I listen to them during my Friday long runs. The topics are enough to get me fired up, and I swear I run better while listening to this podcast. Jessica and Hemant complement each other so well, and they have the perfect rapport. I love them both for their unique styles and perspectives they bring to every discussion. This podcast is my island of sanity in an otherwise chaotic and indifferent world. It helped me realize there are no real monsters or demons, just the one we see in the mirror and the evil acts and ideas perpetrated by fellow humans in the name of religion. wow, that was a really nice and earnest review. 5 stars, called my running companion.
I was going to say, like, thanks for the 1-star review. But
it was 5 stars. And I do know the importance of good podcasts while you run. It's how I use them, too.
I agree. Thank you so much for
you
that.
You run?
I go out you sometimes. Walk. Or I'm in the car.
Sure. On the bonus episode, Mikey and I have been on a bit of a documentary kick, so I would love to talk about the doc's Tread, and they called him mostly harmless. I'm going to talk about this. There was some really good Greif family gossip this week. My husband's cousin, whom I've never met, was in the middle of a lawsuit about some stolen Hotel California lyrics from John Henley. Don Henley? What? Not John Henley. And
tell us more later.
Yeah, I'll get into that in the bonus. Other than that,
all right, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.